it's time for your weekly dose of movie news, reviews, and the occasional rumor. Here's your host, Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. This is Cinema Savants.
And coming up in this week's show, Sesame Street sues, The Crow flies, and Roseanne gets barred. Because I had to phrase it that way. But first, we've actually got some news, which is weird for the show, because it's movie-related, because it has to do with Morgan Freeman, who was allegedly added, or I guess added to the allegedly sexually harassing people list of actors, except he sent a massive thing through his lawyer to CNN that said, you're going to retract that story because it didn't happen. And of the, I think there's what, 10 or so women that CNN claims they found, and most of them are anonymous, except for the one that they did find out about, which was WGN, home of the Cubs, producer Tyra Martin, was identified as one of the people who said Morgan Freeman sexually harassed her. And she said, no, he didn't. publicly denied that he did anything like that, and that CNN misrepresented any of her comments. So you guys have a take on this? Because, wow, I like that Morgan Freeman may not actually be on this list.
I like that he may not be on this list. And this kind of go, we talked about this a few months ago where, and obviously we are all in support of the Me Too movement and yeah. People that are bad actors, such as Harvey, obviously they need to be punished. But it has led to the first time there's a hint of an allegation, not even an allegation, but someone hears something and it just, boom, it hits the media and it's all over the place. And there's a huge rush to judgment and people are losing jobs before there's even any anything remotely close to due process. So it's nice, hopefully, the allegations were incorrect, because, yeah, it would be, when I saw that, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Come on, man. I mean, can't we have one person who's not just an utter pig? So, yeah, hopefully those allegations were false. But it does, hopefully that does also lead the media to just take a step back and do a little more investigating before they report something. That would be nice. Because while I really don't think there's a lot of fake news out there, unlike some carrots that think there are.
Carrot Top?
You know, isn't it sad that we would be much better off if that guy was leaving the country?
Just on the props alone.
No, just on the props alone. And Gallagher could be the VP. My God, an administration. It's kind of what we actually have now, come to think of it, because it's all
the economy is extremely roided up with carrots.
Anyway, yeah, that's, hopefully these are false, and hopefully it does cause people to take a step back and really do some investigating before they announce things.
Yeah, I guess, you know, this isn't the first time Morgan Freeman recently has been accused of something, with the step-granddaughter issue, with the sexual relationship with the step-granddaughter. But it is, yeah, I mean, I think you hit on it. Now, we don't really know the situation. Maybe he did do stuff, but hopefully he didn't. But it seems right at this point, you know, me, if people wrongfully sexually assaulted someone, clearly that is an issue and they deserve to go to jail or worse. But it's getting to be at this point where everybody is being accused of something. And at some point you got to wonder, is it just was a situational thing? I mean, somebody who's in power and they have, I mean, we don't know what happened, but in this case, it seemed like everybody was denying that it even happened. So it's sad that CNN, for me, actually reported it, because, you know, that just kind of plays into what you said, the carrot is talking about fake news.
Right.
It's like, oh, now CNN's reporting something that actually may be fake news and it has nothing to do with politics, but it's just, it's going to, people are going to start to think, oh, I have 1 + 1 = 2. National Enquirer is CNN and they're not going to believe anything, which is a whole political issue altogether separate from this movie show and TV show. But yeah, it's just kind of, it's kind of sad that people are getting accused of everything and there's no corroborative, you know, evidence that actually happened. And, you know, I don't know. Morgan Freeman's been around for a long time, and course, a lot of people have that have been accused of things and have recently come out and you know, oh, they actually did, like Bill Cosby. But, you know, Well, it seems like everybody's being accused of something at this point. At least if you're going to accuse people on CNN or another reputable site, MSNBC or other liberal outlets, thank God, you know, at least they back it up, should back it up. And then CNN just did themselves a disfavor by putting something out there that looks like it wasn't true. And you know, for Morgan Freeman, speaking for Morgan Freeman, because I'm a spokesperson, you know, we feel like we were wrong. That's right. We're both from Memphis, Tennessee, and actually both Tennesseans. And so we feel like we were wrong. But no, it's just kind of a shame that everybody's getting accused of something, including Rob Still.
Yeah.
But he can address that later. But, you know, different show. But, you know, it's a shame. And, you know, hey, you know, we're just a podcast, but, you know, at least we try to look up what we're talking about before we actually just start spouting things off. CNN should probably do the same thing.
Ooh, what a concept.
I need to start that. Thanks.
Like the,
I was going by the JoeThePatriot.com rules. I was just like making crap up all the time. So,
or the what was the one? A couple Aziz Ansari, was it? Had a bad date. Oh, he sexually harassed me. No, girlfriend, that was a bad date.
Yeah,
you know, that doesn't count.
Of course, that's the day and age we live in. You know, we've got Goebbels. I mean, Trump is president, and whatever he says, you know, it becomes fact if you say it enough. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Which, okay, moving on to, well, what could have been happier news? And it sounds like it should be, because it involves Sesame Street and something called Happy Time Studios. There's a movie coming out. I'll get to that in a minute. That stars Melissa McCarthy and a bunch of Muppets. Literally. Jim Henson was the genius behind the Muppets and created Sesame Street. And now his son, whose name I am trying desperately to remember and can't. Help me out here. Brian Henson.
Is that it, Brian Henson?
It's Brian.
He's got a son that's really been involved with, like, all the way back to the Muppet Christmas Carol, right?
Yeah.
Is that Brian?
That's Brian.
That's Brian. I mean, Brian has done some wonderful stuff, too, until this. there's a movie coming out called The Happy Time Murders, which is it's a very, very R-rated, dark, and I'm going to put this in quotes, comedy, question mark. That upset Sesame Street.
Can I interrupt you for a second? Is the tagline on this when they took animals' drums away? Is that what happens and then he acts out?
No. No. Animals not even... None of the Muppets that we know are in this movie. You know, Big Bird does not make a cameo. Thank God. but the thing that really angered the Sesame Street people was the tagline, "No Sesame, All Street." And
which is an awesome tagline.
I'll give him this. That is the best thing about this movie. Sesame Street tried to sue and said, "Ooh, horrible, horrible!" Trying to defame Sesame Street, and that got thrown out. They lost the lawsuit, and you know, I guess okay, fine, good for them. Let's flip that a bit. After that lawsuit was dropped, the trailer came out, which is it's not a Red Man trailer, as we were talking before the show. Definitely a Red Band trailer. Do not show this trailer to anyone under the age of 18, or you might possibly get arrested. I mean that. It is... this movie is not for... I'm putting it almost beyond the category of Deadpool.
Nice.
Or Showgirls, when they first showed that trailer, which was ridiculous.
I'm not even sure this is for adults.
But Showgirls, by the way, did star a Muppet. Because that chick cannot act. Oh my God, she's awful.
That's true.
Anyway.
No, I mean, I'm not actually an easily offended person, I say, as someone who watches Jimmy Carr's DVDs. But I watched this and... I'm not sure if offended is the right word. I'm disappointed in Brian Henson for taking everything his dad did and looking at it and going, how can I make it it's not funny. It's disgusting and perverted, which is not something I'm going to say about a whole lot of stuff. But, you know, when you see, like, a Mel Brooks parody, right, there's still some modicum of respect for the original work. There is not in this trailer. And the things they show in this trailer include, there's a lot of language. There's Melissa McCarthy snorting snorting the cremated remains of a Muppet.
Nice.
And a very explicit sex scene in the trailer.
But not with Melissa McCarthy, I would hope.
I don't think it was, but you never know.
That would make it more disturbing to me.
But that, you know, this is the trailer. There's going to be more offensive stuff in the actual movie. I was kind of offended by the trailer. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, what the hell is the movie going to be like?
Well, I'll just say I'm looking forward to the movie because I like things that push the envelope. And I'll agree.
If this didn't push the envelope, it shredded it and tried to tape it back together again.
If it put the envelope into a nuclear holocaust, I'm okay with that. If it had used Sesame Street characters, that's a different situation entirely.
Right.
Like Kermit the Frog is suddenly, you know, a serial killer or something like that. That's a problem. You know, if Miss Piggy is out hooking on Sunset and Vine or whatever, that's a different problem. They're Muppets and they're puppets. I mean, they're stylized and people kind of recognize that style of puppet, but still, they're not Sesame Street characters. Right. I mean, I get using the tagline, you know, no Sesame Street, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's a clever tagline, but I don't really see that as defaming the Sesame Street characters. They're not in it.
I was hoping it would after seeing the trailer, but yeah, no.
And it's a simple statement. Basically, they're saying this isn't Sesame Street, so I'm not quite sure how they expected to win that suit. I understand why they filed it.
Right.
But there's no way they should have won it because Sesame Street's not in it. And I understand there can certainly be things that are just gross and go way over the top.
And let me give you a good example of where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. Just this trailer made Team America World Police look more like PG.
Hey, jumping onto that Sesame and Street, to me, it's a rightful lawsuit because to me, if I don't know if Rob hadn't mentioned it and I didn't know anything about the film, I might think, oh, this may have something to do with Sesame Street, and it's just a spoof on that.
Because you can see the name Henson attached to it and go, hey.
All the voices are done by Jeff Dunham, just by the way.
Oh, in that case, I don't have to watch it.
Totally.
That would resolve the problem for me.
Hey, here's the other thing I would say just about this, and I haven't seen the trailer, and hopefully the trailer, as what Rob said, is like the worst. They want you to see how bad it can be, and then the movie itself isn't so bad. But Avenue Q does Muppets on Broadway, and they have a lot of bad language and everything else, and it's actually extremely well done. I'm not saying this is going to be the same case, but at least they can, with puppets or Muppets or what they look like Muppets. Puppets can be something artistically productive. I'm not saying that this movie will do the same thing, but at least there's the possibility, and maybe people should be open to the possibility of love. And just stop me before.
I can stop you by saying no. That's not where they went with this.
Like I said, hopefully the trailer is the worst part. They want you to see the trailer because they want you to realize this isn't Sesame Street, and maybe that's why they're showing the trailer the way they are.
You know what?
It does have Melissa McCarthy.
That doesn't help.
That's my point. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what, guys? Watch it this week. We'll continue this very briefly next week, and you'll go, "Oh my God, you were right."
Now we got to see the film because we've got to, like, let's see if the film is really as bad as the trailer.
Yeah, I'll let you guys do that one. I'll stick with other films that, yeah. Let's do the other, I guess, news thing this week that this morning came out with a couple of amusing twists, I think. Roseanne, who is like Melissa McCarthy, only... I can't come up with anything for that. Roseanne was canceled this week, despite the big ratings, because she attacked who was it? Valerie Jarrett, who is no relation to Jeff, said something about she looked. What was it she said again? Because I didn't entirely get what she was supposed to have said.
Well,
something
wasn't about funny. Yeah, I can't remember what she said, but it wasn't funny. And then she retracted it, I guess. But it's Roseanne. I mean, this is the same person.
Yeah, she said she looked like the offspring of.
But here we go. Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby.
Right. Yes. Yeah, which is not funny. And this is the same person who she's a conservative, I guess. She's turned out to be a conservative, and all conservatives
are
like,
you shouldn't be banned.
But I'm thinking, are you watching the same national anthem where she just totally tears it apart, like grabbing her crotch, and you're going to stand up for that?
And they do, because they forgot that.
Yes.
Because they have the attention spans. They have the attention spans of a gnat.
Exactly.
Which is why they forget what Trump has said the very next day.
These are the same people talking about the NFL quote-unquote protesters, and it's like, they shouldn't be able to protest, but Roseanne shouldn't. I'm like, give me a break. But right. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's just Roseanne shouldn't have ever been back on anyway. I didn't never like the show, but that has nothing to do with what she said. But what she said wasn't funny, and she should be aware of this day and age. Well, a sane person.
Any
I'm
day
not
and age?
Sane. Well, this, well, probably any day and age, you're right. I should be aware of what I'm saying if I'm a person on the show. Maybe I shouldn't be attacking someone that's not funny. You know,
no.
I mean, Ricky Gervais does it, but you know, obviously,
but he
has
it.
He's in a Muppet movie. I'm just tying it back in.
Yeah, okay. I did like the thing that said she says it was the Ambien talking.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Did you see the statement Ambien released?
I did. That was great.
Quote: "Racism is not a known side effect."
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant on Ambien's part.
Yeah, she can blame Ambien or whatever other drugs or her mental illnesses, like her husband was saying. Well, you know, she's got issues, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and one of those issues is that she's racist. mental illness does not make you a racist. You know, I mean, that's her belief system. That's unfortunate, and that's why she lost her job.
Is this the part where we start hear back from, I've forgotten her husband's name. He was in a few movies for a while. Tom something.
That's her ex. I don't think it was Tom Arnold that said it. I think it's her current.
Well, no, I'm thinking, shouldn't he have – this would have been the perfect time for him to get his career going again by saying, my wife is racist and can I have a job, please?
Yeah, maybe he will. But like you said, Lee, I mean it's amazing that many of the same people who are angry at the disrespect to the flag, you know, they're not supporting free speech in that area. And then – and rightly so. They'll say, well, you're representing your company. And your company can say, well, you know, really shouldn't do that. That reflects poorly on the company. And that's true. That really doesn't have anything to do with the First Amendment. First Amendment doesn't say.
In a way, they're not. It's not. She tweeted something off show. They did something before the game.
But they're wearing the uniform. Yeah. But regardless, everybody knows.
But it had nothing to do with the anthem.
But everybody knows. But my point is, everybody knows that Roseanne is on that show. She represents ABC in some extent. The name of the show
is Roseanne, right?
Is exactly. Roseanne. So how can you possibly say, how dare you disrespect the flag by kneeling, and in a somewhat more appropriate, which is still wrong, but a somewhat more appropriate thing, say, well, you're representing your company. Your company can say you can't do that. And then turn around and say, oh, this is a terrible violation of her First Amendment rights. Oh, no. It's exactly the same thing, except that hers is hate speech, and the NFL players are crying out for a little bit of justice, whereas, I don't know, what day is it? Well, how many days ago was it that the NBA player got tasered for no reason?
I did that on the FWAT show this past week, but it actually happened in, like, February.
Oh.
And then the footage finally comes
and
out.
Yeah, the footage came out last week.
Well, right. Here's the thing, though, about it's all – I'm not trying to get political, but we've become a much more fascist country. And when I went to see my beloved Seahawks and them play the Titans, both teams got together the night before and were like, we're just not going to go out for the anthem. And neither team
right.
did. And then the Seahawks.
The way they used to do it?
Exactly. Before
right.
2010. It wasn't even that long ago. But the lady came out. She sang the national anthem. She was from Nashville. You know who booed? You know when they booed? They didn't boo the teams coming out. They booed because the lady, the pretty blonde lady who sang the national anthem, took a knee after singing the national anthem. That's what they booed. So it has nothing to do with the protests. It's all about how this country has become much more conservative and fascist politically, and people are just buying into it, that even the national anthem lady taking a knee to me is not disrespectful. It's a knee. That's what we do in church.
Doesn't that make it more respectful?
To me, it should, but people don't. Don't take it that way. I mean, if you're you could do a lot of other things worse than genuflecting.
Like Roseanne. You could screech the national anthem and you could grab your crotch and spit.
Grab your crotch. Exactly. And those players are not doing – I mean, could you imagine the players doing that? No, they wouldn't do that. But that's my whole point is it's not just about people like, oh, the players, blah, blah, blah. I saw a lady sing the national anthem at an NFL game and she got booed. So don't give me the crap about – I know you guys aren't, but generally speaking,
right.
Don't give me the crap about how it's the players. No, you boot everybody who has something to do with the national anthem. And other people should be aware of what they're saying. And just, you know, what we've lost really in this country is common decency. And Roseanne never had it. And so her tweeting something, and people shouldn't be upset by her having her show taken off the air. Although I think, from what I understand, they possibly are rebooting it only Gilbert's.
Here's the thing. I saw this yesterday. They're talking about doing it as a spinoff. With basically, making the change to the focus on Sarah Gilbert's character and bringing back the entire cast, giving it the same time slot, and dropping Roseanne. Changing the name of the show to, I don't know, Darlene, I don't know. But yeah, John Goodman can still be, everybody can still be in it except Roseanne.
And which would they're talking about firing
all the... crew members that were loyal to Roseanne. Nope, gotta go. So, I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Other than those people, that means 199 people get their jobs back, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that's a really good way to shove it in the ambient addict's face.
I think that would make the show actually funnier because I tried to watch Roseanne when it was on the first time and thought, you know, everybody on the show is really funny except... Roseanne.
That's right. And that has nothing to do with her politics because I never really cared for her stand-up when she first started out. It's just I don't – and obviously millions of people find her to be hilarious, which is okay. Millions of people find Adam Sandler to still be hilarious, which is not okay. That's actually a crime against humanity. But I don't care about Roseanne.
Roseanne's a much worse person than Adam Sandler, we should say. They're both Jewish.
Oh, my God. You got that right. Roseanne has obviously revealed herself to be a – not exactly lovely person, whereas Adam Sandler, from everything you read, is actually a quite lovely person. He's just lost his groove, apparently. But regardless, that would be awesome. Reboot it, and oh, by the way, everyone is back except for you, racist pig. It would be great if they even did a couple episodes about it. Oh, Mom's not here because she's in the mental ward, because she's an ambient addict and spouts off racist shit in the middle of the night.
Actually, she's the one that died at the end of the original series, and it wasn't John Goodman.
That would be wonderful.
So it should have John Goodman waking up one morning, going into the shower, and there's Bobby Ewing going, what?
That's right.
Oh, I got the first two scripts written. You're welcome.
See, there we go. So speaking of spinoffs, and now on to more movie news, the frivolous stuff. Bad Boys. You remember the movie?
Yes.
Kind of almost goes along with this. There's a TV spinoff called LA's Finest, which has been picked up by Bell Media, whoever that is. A 13-episode series starring Jessica Alba and Gabrielle Union. Mm. Any comments on that?
So it's like a Bad Boys. It's like Ocean's 8. They made it into a female version of the
Bad Girls.
Bad Girls, yes. Yeah.
They just can't call it that because then that would be sexist somehow.
I don't really care.
I haven't
seen Bad Boys. Yeah, they're both pretty. Haven't seen Bad Boys 2, which was just – they could have just cut out the last two parts of the title because, man, that movie sucked. I don't really care.
The first one was good, though. That's the drawback. The first one was really good. It was entertaining, which is what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. We need to do a show about sequels that never should have happened. Because God, there are several of them. Why would anybody care? Let's do this based on this property that probably a lot of people today don't even remember, justifiably so. after the second one. So, yeah, fine. I'm sure it will get viewership because of the leads. And who knows? Maybe they'll actually have good scripts. Maybe they may actually hire a writer, which apparently the second one didn't.
What a concept.
Yeah.
Let's see. Spinoffs that shouldn't have happened, like Gotham?
Yeah.
No, I bring that up for as a segue, because there's news on the new Batman movie that is probably never going to get made at this point.
I was going to say, really? Is this really a movie, or is this just a concept?
Well, they've since day one of this Ben Affleck Bat movie, they were saying that Deathstroke is going to be the bad guy, to the point that they even put him in the end credit scenes of Justice League. But now it looks like they're changing their minds and going with the Penguin again.
Right.
I don't want to see the Penguin again.
Agreed. Agreed. That's they've done that. That's utterly stupid.
I'll agree.
For a character who's got the best rogues gallery, they're like, oh yeah, let's just go back to that again, because, you know, why not? It's like, come on. That's it. It's just stupid, but it's Warner Brothers and DC, so utterly not surprising, because let's make another bad decision.
Because they're good at making bad decisions.
Oh, Lord, are they ever.
So let's see, that's allegedly still going. It hasn't completely fallen apart yet, unlike, and I love the way this is phrased in this article, the long gestating Crow remake.
It's birthed by two elephants.
This has supposedly been going on forever, with Colin Hardy directing and Jason Momoa as the Crow, and now both of them have left, leaving a bit of a gap in the cast that they need to have for this movie. There was a picture of Jason Momoa in the Crow makeup, which I have to admit didn't look as hideous as it originally sounded.
Well, that's amazing.
That's a start, I guess. But yeah, you guys have any comments on this? Because other than good.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons I like the first Crow movie. Mostly, I mean, the soundtrack was incredible.
That was a great soundtrack.
Yeah, Brandon was awesome. But to me, I know we kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago, movies that shouldn't be remade. I know there was a sequel already, but don't reboot The Crow. Just let it be what it is. But, you know, in this day and age when superhero movies are making so much money, you know, it makes sense to make another one, I guess, for a studio. But I kind of wish they would leave that one alone.
Well, they're never going to leave that one alone, because I think there are four sequels.
I think so.
Yeah, there's a
bunch. And Jason Momoa, really? Why are they cramming this guy down everybody's throat? Because not exactly a box office leader.
See, actually, what I was thinking, I've seen him in the Crow makeup now, and you know who he would be good at? And it's not Aquaman, but I'll stick with DC.
He'd be good at Sting.
Lobo.
That makes sense.
Lobo, the documentary of Rebecca Lobo, is that what we're talking about?
He does look exactly like Rebecca Lobo, that's true.
About the same height, probably.
Nah, he's a little shorter. Yeah, he would be great as Lobo. Well, except for the fact that he's not very good. But physically, yeah, he'd be good as Lobo. Seriously, Conan the Barbarian, $21 million. Huge hit. Bullet to the Head, under $10 million. Something Called Wolves made $12,000.
It's funny you said Bullet to the Head when you were talking about The Crow, or kind of referencing something.
That's completely unintentional too. It's like, Jason Momoa, really? I mean, he's like Sam Worthington. It's like, why do we keep getting this kind of movie? Jeez. Do not realize he is like the anti-charisma. He's, God, and it's not that he's terrible. He's, as an actor, he's just kind of there. He's like the most forgettable person there is. I mean, at least Jason Momoa has a look.
Yeah. Playing off a name, we should now have Sam Waterston as the Crow. It'd be a very thinking man's older man.
I would see Sam Waterston as the Crow like 100 times before I'd see Jason Momoa as the Crow, because at least there would be something interesting going on. It'd be pretty damn weird, but there would be something interesting going on.
You know, someone wants Josh Brolin to do it now.
No, we don't need Josh Brolin. And I really like Josh Brolin, but no, he's not the Crow either.
It's well, just, no, it's just on the box office draw, apparently. Which?
Well, I mean, if you're going to go by box office draw, we all know it needs to be The Rock.
Oh, my God, because he's made 600 movies in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I'm sure he has a spare weekend where he could shoot a movie. He's in everything.
We're going to name him Chris. Chris Rock. Wait a minute. That's already taken. Wow. So Netflix, right? Because that's a thing.
Yeah, it is.
They announced what is coming to Netflix this month. And I was kind of surprised at the turnaround on this. The Last Jedi is already coming to Netflix. Is that too? Is it just me, or is that a little too soon? Or am I just thinking back to the days when you had, like, you know, the movie would come out, you'd wait about a year, then it would hit HBO, and then about 6 more months, you could rent it at a video store.
Well,
and I know it's gone a lot faster than that now, but it feels like that movie just came out.
I think with the success of Solo, they got to make a buck somehow. Not that Solo is not making money, but it's making so much less than the expectations.
We wanted more.
Yeah. So, and
yeah, I guess I'm not surprised that it's coming out this quickly. Like you said, Rob, not anymore. It seemed like we used to wait, and then it's on HBO now. But now, really, Netflix is the new HBO, as far as it goes. I mean, and what difference does it make if it's, you know, it's been 6 months? I guess, how long has it been since Last Jedi? It's been 6 months, right?
About.
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, 6 months at this time. And Todd had a good point. Maybe it's just so Solo, and, you know, Disney was like, hey, can we move this up?
It was scheduled to come out before Solo hit, so.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, I'm just wondering, it seemed like Netflix would have had to pay for the rights. I'm assuming that's how it works, to Last Jedi. And I'm just wondering if they paid a certain amount before the quote-unquote premium network channels got it, because it hasn't been on HBO or Showtime at this point, right? It's straight to Netflix.
Not that I know of, no.
Yeah, I'm assuming, I don't know, but I'm assuming that they have a deal for the entire package, you know, and they got their streaming window. I almost said broadcast. Wow, how old school is that? But, you know, they've got their streaming window set, and then Solo is, $264 million worldwide. That's all it's made so far.
That's crazy.
There wasn't a lot of great buzz coming out about it, and I do think a lot of the talk has been is just fatigue with these characters, because it's just they're just cranking them out so much. And
I mean, at least with the Marvel movies, we're going different places.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I've heard about Solo is, and I'm going to see it today. I've heard the director, I've heard Ron Howard does a great job. I heard the script is not very good, but the problem with it is they didn't go off script, you know, pun intended, enough. They just tried to make it, this is a Star Wars Solo, instead of making it a standalone film, which, you know, Marvel does an excellent job at.
Right.
So, you know, unfortunately, it didn't work with Solo. Hopefully, and they won't make a second one, I'm assuming, at this point, but hopefully it'll work differently with the Boba Fett film and the Lando film that they theoretically are making. Hopefully they'll just, these could be standalone films. They don't even have to have anything to do with a franchise, which any standalone film, that's how it should work anyway. You want to see it for itself instead of, it's tied into this franchise.
Yeah. And hopefully they pump the brakes and don't rush out with whatever the next one would be, because I do think it's just... Part of the thing I think too is none of these films really seem to have really that much the magic that the original group did. I mean, yeah, there's buzz about it, but it just they don't seem to hit the same notes as the original did. And a lot of it is because they're not the originals. It's really hard to be the follow-up and make it as good and as unique. Deadpool 2. I really enjoyed Deadpool 2. I thought it was great. But it didn't have the same impact as the first one because, it's treading the same ground. It has to. It's the same character. It did a lot of things differently, but it's still, there's nothing
new. You mean it's not unique like that guy claimed it was in his review?
It's still pretty unique, the character. I mean, I still think that's how the next Avengers film ends, is Deadpool coming and just killing everybody. But
because they have done that.
Yeah, but I mean, just what I like about Deadpool, and this is way off subject, Deadpool 2, but what I like is just how Ryan Reynolds plays the role and how he has so much to do with the film. Like in the, you know, I don't know if we're giving too much away because this has nothing to do with the plot, but when he shoots himself, really,
right,
over the Green Lantern script and says, "You're welcome, Canada." I mean, that's what makes the film unique.
It does have its unique aspects to it, and that is due to Ryan Reynolds. I agree. That's very true. But yeah, going back to the whole Star Wars thing, I think they're just trying to milk it too much. They're just pushing it.
They are.
And
I think they should have also followed the books. There were hundreds of novels that came out with some really wonderful ideas, and they haven't done them. Including Solo. There was a Solo trilogy that did his Han Solo's origin. And the last line in the third book ended with Han and Chewie in a bar in Mos Eisley wondering if you can get enough money out of the old man and the kid to pay off Jabba the Hutt.
Which is great.
And that, there you go.
I think it comes down to, did we really need a prequel story about Han Solo? Because it looks like most people are saying, no, we didn't really need to see it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you get that post-credit sequence. That's what it boils down to.
And you don't need, if you don't need to see that, I don't know who you would need to see. You sure don't need to see Boba Fett.
We need to have a film about Luke moisture farming.
Yeah. Or how the band got their start in the cantina in Mos Eisley. That would be a great solo film. You know, it's just when they first talked about it, I thought it'd be interesting, but it just seems kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the actor they chose to, because he seems pretty bland, from what I understand. He's not like Brad Pitt in Deadpool 2.
Bigrin Dan and the Modal Nodes. That's the name of the band in the cantina.
And that is the movie America is clamoring for.
It would be better than American Idol, which is for some reason still going.
Much better.
The band in the cantina is like the worst. I mean, it's the worst part.
No, what was worst? My wife was watching American Idol this morning because it's a thing. And I'm listening to it from the other room because I know better than to go in there and try to watch, because all it is butchering of songs that I used to almost like. And I heard it was some guy twanging a country song, but I'm like, the lyrics are wrong. I recognize some of these lyrics. Like,
oh, no. Where is this going?
Oh, my God. What was it? Something about my mother, she's never satisfied. I'm like, hang on a minute, I know that lyric. This is what it sounds like when doves cry, twangity twang, twang, twang. I'm like, no, evil, wrong. Don't do that.
That's quite wrong and evil.
Prince just threw up in his grave.
Is that country music artist doing Darling Nikki? What is happening?
It wouldn't surprise me. It was very much ungood.
Yes. Very much ungood.
Speaking of very much ungood.
That's lovely.
I've been trying to figure out a way to segue into a review, and that's all I can come up with. I did something that I've been threatening to do for a while, which was read the book A Wrinkle in Time and then watch the movie. And it came out for streaming this week, and I had just finished reading it, and I said, okay, fine, I'll watch it. And I got it. I'll give them this. It was a valiant effort. And that's about all I'm going to give them. Yes, it had Chris Pine in it, which is the obligatory Chris for movies these days.
And he had nothing to work with.
As far as following the story in the book, they did a reasonably good job. They left a few things out, like two of the kids, because they were twins in the book, and they are not in this movie at all. Some of the special effects looked very spotty, sometimes literally. Where do those spots come from? They shouldn't be. Oh, they screwed up the blue screen. Got it. My youngest pointed out something, that there's one of the characters, I don't remember which one it is, the one played by Reese Witherspoon, she transforms into a large, basically it's a leaf with a face on it that they all fly on. I don't entirely remember her turning into a leaf in the book, but that's okay. And my youngest said, I've seen that face before. That's the Tooth Fairy from Rise of the Guardians. And I went, you know what? It is. They just ripped it off, basically, and put a green filter over it. That's cheating. Make your own special effects. I wanted this movie to be good because the book... Okay, the book, frankly, wasn't all that spectacular either. But it deserved better than this movie. But I think that's all we're going to get because some of the stuff in the book is... It's not going to translate well to any screen, no matter the special effects, no, especially what they did with Oprah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but
yes, go ahead. Special effects, I'm not sure where I'm going with this.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit before. With the special effects, it was that the director's first time ever working with special effects, and I just thought she had no clue as to what she was trying to do with the large Oprah and everything that she did with the special effects. I just thought it was. It didn't add anything to the movie. In fact, it took away from the movie because the story was like, I mean, it was what it was, but then it was like, oh, you just got this 70s type, you know, special effects almost. And it's like, this looks just silly on the screen in 2018.
It does. I will give them the nice effects of when, what's the character's name? Meg puts on the funky glasses and gets to see the details that are actually in the room. And, oh, look, there's a staircase over there that's invisible, but I can see it now. That was a good effect to me. I liked that. And that's about it. The rest of it, I didn't care about any of the characters. Even Charles Wallace, who I liked in the book because he's like a 4-year-old kid who knows everything, which was kind of cool in the book. And he just came across as a snotty brat in the movie, which I didn't care for.
But if that doesn't kill a movie, if you don't care for the characters...
Exactly.
Why on earth are you watching it? Other than that, well, okay, I paid for it, or, you know, whatever. It's like, I'm just going to see, maybe it'll get better. That's more, even more than the special effects. That really hurts. I just rewatched Beauty and the Beast, the 2017 live-action version, just last night. And we were talking about it afterwards, and you know, they enjoyed it. They think it's pretty good. And we're talking about, to me, the huge flaw in that movie is the special effects of the Beast. I think they would have been so much better off if they had just used prosthetics and makeup, because he just doesn't match. He's not real enough to be paired up in this relationship with Belle. It doesn't work. The other characters, they're not that closely tied in, so they can look more out there. I mean, they're clocks and candelabras anyway, so what difference does it make? But this didn't quite work. He didn't look real. And for Disney to not be able to handle that in 2017, and here again, Wrinkle in Time, what's going on? Why are you not getting better animation? That just seems not right, basically.
I thought Beauty and the Beast was still a good movie, though. To me,
oh, yeah, it's a very good movie.
To me, Wrinkle in Time looked like a TV movie that they made for the Disney Channel. Special effects.
It did. Very much so.
That's awful. Yeah, because I really enjoyed Beauty and the Beast. But, I mean, that would have made it terrific if they had fixed that. And for whatever reason, Disney seems to have struggles with that. I mean, Grand Moff Tarkin, he looks kind of not very real. And he's supposed to be real. And I know a lot of people didn't get that, but to me, that pulled me completely out of the movie. It was like, oh, look, they have a cool special effect here as a character. If you can't do it right, do it differently.
It wasn't as bad as Leia's eyes at the end of that movie, but...
which is, you know...
That kind of anime eye thing going.
Yeah, which I agree. And again, but it's the same issue that they're having for some reason. Yeah. Fix it. Fix your stuff, guys.
Well, I will say that it's kind of a technology thing. The technology doesn't exist yet, but they're trying. And they are getting there. At least it's not, you know, 8-bit.
Yeah, they're getting there. But like the Planet of the Apes movies, which, I mean, they're closer.
Yeah.
And the Beast doesn't have to be any more realistic than the apes in Planet of the Apes. And it still just looked too much like, oh, look, that's computer generated. It just didn't look real. And in that case, it's like, use a mask. It kind of worked for the TV show, so I really don't get why they felt the need to go the direction they went. Anyway.
She actually watched another movie this week, though, which I think we touched upon briefly. Well, actually, we touched upon a part of the character, mainly her breasts. Not literally, but there was a problem with the new version of the Tomb Raider movie, where people were complaining about Lara Croft's breasts being too small. I watched the movie this week, because again, hey, now available for streaming. And this movie is set up for a series, but it had such a lackluster performance at the theater, this is probably going to be it. Which is a shame, because frankly, it wasn't that bad a movie. Very video game-ish, but hey, guess what? It's based on a video game. You know, there's lots of the action you see are things you would go, if this was a video game and she needed to get from this part of the chasm to that part and there's a bar up there, she'd jump up to the bar and go across it. And that's what she does, because it's a video game. Go figure. Now, short-forming the plot here, Lara wants to find her missing dad, who went looking for the tomb of the Japanese Queen of Death, who was the first empress, or something like that. If she's released, then the world will end, and that would be bad. Gotcha. Okay. You know, not a terribly hard plot point to figure out. But there are several plot points you'll watch and you'll go, aha, I think this is going to happen next. And you'll be right. But instead of being disappointed that you're right, you'll feel more like of an accomplishment thing, like you figured something out. You know, like you're watching the WWE and go, I know how this match is going to end. It'll be this, this, and this. And you'll be right. And you'll go, oh, ego boost. Thank you. That's just, you know, that's the way the WWE is. You know how it's going to turn out, barring an injury. Anyway, so Tomb Raider actually had a pretty impressive cast with people like Dominic West, Kristen Scott Thomas, I was thrown off by. Wasn't expecting her in this. Derek Jacobi, and an uncredited appearance by Nick Frost as the guy in the pawn shop.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
And it's set up to be an origin movie, which we didn't really get in the Angelina Jolie version. We get the origin of where Lara got her guns, and it's more a fleshed out background, either one, than the previous movies. So anyway, and because of the way the new actress, whose name has just escaped me again, I suck with names. No, her breasts aren't as enormous as they are in the video game, and that's fine, because if they were, they'd get in the way. That's why you don't see many women in the WNBA, I've got 75G breasts, because I like dribbling three balls at a time while I run down the court. No, that doesn't work. So, yeah, basically...
Alicia Vikander is the actress.
I have no idea what you just said. What?
Alicia Vikander, that's the actress.
Oh, thank you.
And when you said that people were complaining about the size of her breasts, is like...
They were, which is stupid.
No, people were not complaining. Internet trolls were complaining.
Trolls.
They're exactly people, because what person would complain about that?
Roseanne Barr.
Well, again, what person? Anyway.
that would be an ogre. Anyway, so was the new Tomb Raider a spectacular film? Let's see. Do you like popcorn? Because this is a popcorn film. Do you like the video game? Then, you know, this movie is for you. Do you like the Indiana Jones films? Because it's very much like them. If you don't like any of those, then no, I will suggest something else. And the only reason I think this movie flopped was because it didn't get released in the summer. This was very much a summer movie. When, you know, matinee, take the kids and go have a good time watching an action movie. It would have just done much better than when was it released? Like January? Kids are in school. No one wants to go anywhere, really. That's why it flopped. Because the rest of the movie, I think, was worth having. Maybe not necessarily making it a long series, but it was set up for a very nice sequel that we're not going to get now.
I don't know if that's why it flopped. I mean,
that's all I can come up with. It was not a bad movie.
When did Black Panther come out?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a Marvel film. I mean, Tomb Raider to me is a movie I'm not interested in seeing just because I don't really care about the premise so much.
And
I'm just
I think,
wondering if Go ahead. I'm sorry. You made.
No, I was going to say. I think that goes to the heart of it. It's not. Black Panther worked. I mean, better than even Marvel expected. And part of it is because it's a Marvel movie. Part of it because it's a marvelous movie. But was there just a huge clamor for the next Tomb Raider movie? It's similar to the Solo thing. It's like, do people really want to see that? I don't think it would have made much difference if it came out in the summer. It would have helped. But ultimately, you know, if it's, oh, it's an okay movie, it's going to get okay box office usually. I enjoyed the first Tomb Raider movie. It's a popcorn movie. I watched part of the second one before I turned it off. Because obviously I did not go to see the theater to see it. Because you can't turn it off there. It would be fun.
Yeah.
And so when this came out, I was like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. But it's like, it just wasn't. It wasn't even on my radar.
Very much in charge at the time it came out.
Yeah. And so I don't think the timing is as important as just the fact that it's just not a great movie, period, from what you're saying. I mean.
It wasn't spectacular. It was about as good as, let's say. It was very standard Indiana Jones-ish.
Well, is it standard Indiana Jones-ish?
They're fun movies, but they're not. I don't think the Indiana Jones movies are great movies. The first one I think was a great movie. The second one, not as much, and the third one, more than the second, but not as much as the first.
Yeah, I didn't like the second one much at all. I mean, a lot of people like it quite a bit. And to me, that's just a bad movie, even though it's an Indiana Jones film. The third one I liked a lot better.
To me, it goes 1, 3, and 2. They didn't make a fourth yet.
I was leaving that open for you. There you go.
How true. How true.
Oh, geez. Okay, so Lee, I heard you saw a movie too this week that's very different than. I had one based on a book, one based on a video game, and I heard you saw one about books.
Well, it was about a book club among four ladies. So I didn't have really. I think this helped me going into the film. So I saw The Book Club, which is stars a lot of older actors and actresses who are all of merit. None of them are awful. But the four main ladies are Candace Bergen, Andy Garcia. No, I'm just kidding. Candace Bergen, Diane Keaton, Jane Fonda, and the Virgin Mary Steenburgen. And they're all good actresses, and the main actors really are Andy Garcia and Don Johnson, and Richard Dreyfuss is in it for a small time, and Ed Begley Jr. is in it for a small time, and Craig T. Nelson has a bigger role than the other actors, but really it's about those four ladies. So I didn't really have any expectations. I went to see it because a tall, pretty blonde asked me, and when a tall, pretty blonde ask you to go to see a film, you don't say yes. You say, how much are the tickets that I can pay for? So that's why I went to the movie, The Book Club. And, actually, I think it helped that I didn't have any expectations for it because I wasn't really sure what I was getting into. The script is very corny at times. And it's really about those ladies. And it's all about Jane Fonda is this, she is single all her life, and she doesn't want, she fools around a lot, but she's very successful and doesn't want to get tied up in a relationship. And the Virgin Mary Steenburgen is involved in this relationship with conservative Craig T. Nelson, so she's not happy about that. I'm just kidding. No, they seem fairly happy up until recently. Diane Keaton had her husband pass away, and she has two daughters who think they should that she should move out to them to Arizona. And I think that's one of the worst parts of the film is that it's all about reliving, not reliving, it's all about living your life no matter how old you are. And I think the message is good. And I think The Book Club does a really good job with that. I think the drawback with Diane Keaton's character are her two daughters who say, oh, you can come out here, we've redone the basement for you. Obviously, the basement is a metaphor, for you're older and we think you should, stay down below, or you can kind of fall apart over time and we can take care of you and eventually you'll die. And then you have Candace Bergen, who is very successful. She is a judge, and she's looking for love. Her husband is Ed Begley Jr. divorced her 18 years ago, and she hasn't really done anything. So the four actresses, the script is what it is, very corny. at times, but it also has moments of poignancy. But the four actresses really hold it together. They're all very talented, and I think that they didn't just throw these actresses in a room and say, go make a movie. They actually do. They work well together, and I think that makes the movie successful. I know it's like the reviews for it are all over the map. It's got like 75. It's got 20. To me, it was, if you go in with no expectations of it being an Oscar-worthy film, which it's not trying to be, it's entertaining. Because the message really is, you can get older, but you can also still keep living. You don't have to give in to being old, which is the whole point of the film. Don Johnson has a really good interaction with Jane Fonda's character. I think they could have done a little bit more with Richard Dreyfuss and his role. Andy Garcia and the Diane Keaton interaction, because she meets him on an airplane. He's a pilot. I think they do a good job with not making that overly corny. But really, like I said, it's about those four actresses. So if you want to see a movie that's just a comedy, it's definitely worth seeing. The whole premise is really based on, they have this book club and they're start reading 50 Shades of Grey together, and they're like, half of them are think, oh, it's ridiculous, and the other half are like, oh, that's really cool. But it doesn't really go into 50 Shades of Grey. It's more just like they're using that as a point of takeoff, and I think the actresses make it worthwhile seeing. So I was happily surprised by the film, actually. Again, it's not Oscar worthy, but it's definitely, if you want to take a moment away from seeing more serious films or seeing an action hero movie, it's worth seeing. If you want to wait till Netflix, it's still worth seeing at Netflix too.
Did it have any basketball players in it?
Richard Dreyfuss, obviously, was point guard of the Celtics in the 50s. Went by Tiny Richard Dreyfuss at that point, which he still is, Tiny. No basketball players. All the actors are, the guys are all good actors. They're not great actors. I think we talked about that before the show. Andy Garcia is a good actor. Don Johnson is a good actor. Films he's made that have been bad, he himself is a good actor. Those really the two main guys, and Craig T. Nelson, who's conservative, which I don't like to talk about. But the actresses themselves make the movie worthwhile. And they do a good job. It's like I said, none of them are going to be nominated for an Oscar, and they shouldn't be, because the roles don't have enough heaviness. But they're all good in it.
Cool.
And
sounds
and
like
Ryan
something
Wilson
I'll be watching.
Is Deadpool, which kind of is surprising. He's in it throughout. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be awesome. Everybody dies at the end because he kills everybody. But he's got little legs and a little penis at the end, so it's kind of funny. Anybody who hasn't seen Deadpool 2, you'll have to go see it.
Wow.
And one of the most horrifying moments in any film ever.
Yeah, and they do a great job with it.
Oh my god, I'm going to watch The Exorcist 6 times again before I watch that scene. I'm just going to shut my eyes next time I see it. But I will see it.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, go with that.
So, IMDb came out with something this week that I don't think they thought out too well. They put out a video called The Top 10 Basketball Players Turned Actors. Now, first off, quick, name 10 basketball players that have turned actors.
Shaq Daddy, Shaq Diesel.
Michael Jordan.
My point.
The other guy from Carolina, crap, I'm a Carolina guy, I should remember this guy, who actually he's actually turned out to be a pretty decent actor. And Ray Allen actually does a pretty good job.
I thought Fox. James Worthy was great on Star Trek.
Never saw it.
The guy you're
Rick,
thinking
Rick
of.
Rick Fox.
Yeah, Rick Fox.
He's turned out to be a pretty decent actor. Yeah. So, any Carolina guy, all the Duke guys are spawns of Satan, so none of them can act.
Wow. See, on this list, their number 10 actor was Dirk Nowitzki, who I thought, Dirk was in a movie? Really? And you put him on this list? Why? But if number 5 on this list is Dennis Rodman for his work on Double Team with Jean-Claude Van Damme, you don't have enough to make an actual list. Put it off and try again next year.
Yeah, well, that, there will actually be a lot of basketball players in a movie.
Well, put it off until there are actually some worth being put on. Dennis Rodman in Double Team, really?
That's kind of sad.
Okay.
Dennis Rodman as the bride.
They really should have waited until after Uncle Drew. I mean, come on, guys.
Okay, so moving on. A couple of quick little notes here. We talked about the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which is only, 25 years late from when he was popular. They wanted to get Paul Rudd to do the voice, but he wasn't available, so they got Jason Marsden instead. Because when you can't get Paul Rudd, you get Jason Marsden. Mentioned a couple weeks ago that they were talking about getting Jamie Foxx to play the new Spawn in the movie of the same name, and they confirmed that this week.
Wow. Going back to Sonic, why didn't they just have Danny DeVito play Sonic and do a live-action version? I would much rather watch that. Jamie Foxx is Spawn. That might have worked. That's kind of cool.
That's cool.
I think that's going to work fine. Dave Bautista came out this week, not out of the closet, just had a little press conference thing and announced that he's in Avengers number 4 and Guardians of the Galaxy 3, so his death in the Avengers Infinity War may not be permanent.
What?
Thanks, Dave. Because we couldn't have figured that out. Spoiler. That's not even a spoiler.
No, it's not a spoiler because there's so much talk about time travel, and obviously there are things in movies called flashbacks. So all this talk about, actors are saying, well, okay, I'm going to be in this movie. It doesn't mean a thing for the plot because it could simply be a flashback. So they're not spoilers. So people need to calm down about, you're ruining my movie. It's like, no, they're not, dude.
I still think it's Doctor Strange's done something with the time lapse. I'm just saying.
Well, I love you, Lee, but
actually,
duh.
Actually,
I mean, just because he says it's the one. Well, we're gonna go off script, but
no.
He says it's the one, dude. And he talks about that a couple of times in the movie. And he's Benedict Cumberbatch, so he's Sherlock Holmes. So he figured it out. Yeah.
In the immortal words of our president, wrong. It's obviously Howard the Duck because Howard the Duck is at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's the only reason to introduce him because he has mystical powers.
That's true. Oh, yeah, Big Lee.
The other one is a terrible movie.
No, I'm sorry. It's not Howard the Duck. It's Covfefe, the bounty hunter from Star Wars.
and the other thing is they cross-reference and they have X-Men and Deadpool. Like I said, Deadpool kills everybody. Or is somehow Wolverine is involved. So,
well, it's not Silver and Black, which were supposed to be coming out as a Spider-Man spinoff, but from Sony. Sony canceled it this week. I'm sorry, delayed it indefinitely, which means canceled. Silver Sable and Black Cat, did they need a movie?
Well, if
Ant-Man and Wasp does, I mean, if you make it good enough, sure.
Ant-Man and Wasp were Avengers. Black Cat and Silver Sable were very second, to me at least, very secondary characters in one of the myriad of Spider-Man books.
But what I'm saying is if you make the movie entertaining enough, people will come. It's like if you build it, they will come. And so why not give it a chance anyway?
Do not besmirch Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne, two of the original Avengers, sir. I mean, they've been around forever. Not according to most of the general audience. They don't know who the hell they were until Ant-Man came out. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if the movie's good, people would come to see it. I'm not sure why they had even planned to do that. So
don't know.
Yeah. So I don't.
I'm
really
not sure
care
why they made the. Not sure why they made the Heathers TV series either, but that was scrapped this week.
Aw.
It was originally supposed to start on March 7th, but then pushed back because there was a school shooting. And then they pushed it back because there was a school shooting. And then they pushed it back because there was a...
they were waiting what for was the it? School shooting.
That's yeah. It was a school shooting. Yeah. So now the whole project is just dead.
So they really just need to air it in Australia or some other countries where they don't really have school shootings. That might be their only option.
Could be.
Because it ain't going to happen here, unfortunately.
Or Canada.
But that's my segue into our closing segment because we're running out of time on the show. Or ran out of time. I'm not sure which. I lost track. It's my segue to the greatest TV program of all time of the week. Lee, it's your turn.
Pass. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think of the week.
It's not Roseanne, but, you know.
It's definitely not Roseanne. No, of the week, and I can't remember. Todd, have you done MASH? Did we reference MASH?
No, we have not done MASH.
We have not done, because I've been holding off because I knew someone was going to do MASH.
Yes, so MASH starring Donald Sutherland. No, I'm just kidding. So the thing about MASH that makes such a great TV program is, first of all, Alan Alda ended up having a whole lot of stuff to do with it in the later years. But it was able to transform from these first three seasons of just being kind of a spoofy comedy, almost slapstick in a way, to becoming a show that could handle serious subjects and do it in a great way. And then eventually leave you with literally the greatest ending ever, I think, of any show, where, you know, people I've watched it with, they're like, oh, who's BJ? BJ is the guy who takes place of Trapper. And I always say, he's the guy who leaves the rocks at the end. Because if you haven't seen the end of MASH, watch the entire series and then watch the end. And
which of those rocks have you been living under?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was young enough to watch the entire series. I remember watching the final show with my family when my parents were, gosh, we were still married. I guess they were still married. They must have been about to divorce. But everybody watching, including my sister, who's 6 years older than I, boohooed at the end, because you can't not boohoo at the end of this. Well, it was 11 seasons of the show. I think it was 11. But anyway, the great thing is Hawkeye, played by Alan Alda, who's a professor now at Stony Brook University. Great university you should go to. And Trapper John, and then you have that's how it starts off. But then you lose Trapper, and you lose the Colonel, and you lose other people. But you still have Margaret, and you still have Hawkeye, and you still have Radar and Klinger, who becomes a bigger role. And you watch this show evolve from just this three seasons of a very funny show, slapsticky show, and you watch it evolve into something that probably could have lasted six seasons, maybe, and devolved over the time, but you watched it evolve into something that just became greater and greater over time. And I know we've all watched it, so you guys definitely can put your own points of view in here. But I thought that's the thing that made MASH a great TV show, was it evolved beyond itself of what it started off based on this movie of MASH. And instead of having Trapper as the main character, it really became Hawkeye because of Alan Alda. But that carried the seasons. I don't think there are any weak seasons. I mean, you get the 9 and 10, and maybe they're a little bit weaker because they're a lot more serious than the previous. But for instance, they have this episode where you're just the camera person, and you're watching. It really has nothing to do with the characters on the show. You're watching these young men in Vietnam, or sorry, Korea. Die. And they make a point of, you know, there's as many people dying here as they did in Vietnam. And when the show was going on, really, it was at the very end of the Vietnam War, and then after the Vietnam War. And people forget about Korea and how horrible it was and what led to Vietnam. And really, that's kind of the subtext that you're also seeing in the show that a lot of people may not think about. But they just were able to do things that other shows are not able to do based on the talent that was involved in the show and then based on the execution of the actors within those episodes themselves. That's what I thought made MASH such a great show. But you guys can feel free to expand on that.
Yeah, just a couple things is Wayne Rogers played Trapper, and he was upset that he wasn't – apparently was upset that he wasn't the lead, or he saw Alan Alda's character take the lead a little more, so – he wanted to take off and do his own thing, which is why Trapper disappeared from the series. And BJ was an excellent replacement, very different character, but I didn't really lose anything, even though Trapper was a very cool character and obviously was even more important than in the movie. 106.
Sorry to interrupt you. The importance of BJ was that actor allowed the character, really, and the actor, but the character allowed there to be a whole lot more going on than just, oh, see how silly we can be for 22 minutes.
BJ was a much more serious character, and Alan
even Alda, with the mustache.
Alan Alda had a lot to do with that, like you said. 106 million people watched the finale, which is just incredible. 106 million people watched the finale of a weekly half-hour TV show. I mean, the finale wasn't a half hour, but I mean, still, that's just amazing. That
the finale was 2 hours?
That's how popular it was. So.
I think it was
2 hours, and they took you from a point of you didn't know where you were starting with that episode with Alan Alda talking to Sydney, the psychiatrist, and what evolved over that show, and then to have it end that would have been a great movie by itself if it had a show attached to it.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm glad you mentioned that. I hadn't even thought about it until you mentioned it, but the character had so many great characters, and Sidney was a great character who didn't show up until, what, maybe the fifth or sixth season?
No, he was...
He was on it early on.
Was he earlier?
Season two.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was earlier than that, I thought, too, when I rewatched the whole series. I was like, oh, Sidney's on this really early.
But it's a,
I mean, he's a regular guest.
Right.
Yeah, right, exactly. But he's the sounding board for, so you can...
No, hang on a minute. He was in one episode in season one, the poker game.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He gets into, you can get into the characters' heads, literally, because he's their sounding board. So he's the plot device that lets you get into the internal thoughts of the characters, which makes it a much deeper show than it originally was. Which is terrific, and it's a great device, and he's a very interesting character in his own right too. I mean, that was an excellent part of the show.
I totally forgot to bring up the antagonistic relationships are Frank Burns and then Winchester, who Winchester becomes a great character.
He does
on that show because he also came in as a pompous, oh, we got to replace Frank. Mm-hmm. And then instead of doing what they did with Don Knotts' character and then Warren, they actually made this guy his own individual,
right?
And not a parody of Frank Burns. And he evolved into a extreme. And then even again, going back to that final show with the violin or with the band, it's like, oh my God, that is like heartbreaking.
Yeah, and Winchester changed the dynamic because they didn't have the buffoon. He wasn't their foil that they could constantly pick on. Because
he's better than they were, which
he
never dealt with.
Exactly. He could more than hold his own in repartee and in the surgical room. So, it absolutely changed the dynamic, which was very, very cool. Yeah, he was no Warren. Oh, my gosh. That's another topic for another show. How to destroy a TV show. Anyway.
Shark jumping 101. No, actually, my favorite story that came out of MASH that wasn't part of a show had to do with Trapper John, the spinoff series, because he had the character moved on to a spinoff series with a different actor who's, guess what? His name's escaped me.
Pernell Roberts.
Anyway, as a practical joke, they filmed part of like a scene in MASH where Hawkeye gets a letter saying that Trapper dies in a car wreck. And they sent this, they kind of gave the footage to an internal spy to sneak it to the people who were making the Trapper John show and said, we killed off your character in your show. And they kind of got it and went, our character, you killed our main character. What do we do with our show now? Which I thought, as practical jokes go, that's pretty brilliant. But they would use that kind of, they use that kind of humor in the show too. I thought, MASH is a great show.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned practical jokes because BJ is full of them, and that's one reason he gets more integrated into the group that's already there. Yes,
that was Pernell Roberts who played Trapper in the solo show. The guy who played Adam, the oldest son in Bonanza. So he was around for a long time.
Just a bit. And that sounds like we've come to the end of a show, and we're going to have Lee spell goodbye out in rocks, and we'll put that up on the website or something. But we'll be back next week with more movies and stuff and a review of that stupid trailer that no one should watch. And if you... forgotten what we're talking about, take it as a good thing. We'll see you next week.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.